All right, folks. So welcome back. We are now getting into the Eastern Conference on this episode. Max and I just went over the Western Conference, had a couple laughs, had a couple rants, had a couple of this's and that's, and a couple of, well, how would you say it, Max?
A few in-betweens and a few all-rounders. We got in deep on a few topics as well. And we also went over the IIHF in our first half of this episode. I'm loving these because we get to really delve deep into the playoff stuff. We get two episodes for you guys. If you're an Eastern Conference fan, you know to come and check out this one. If you're a Western Conference fan, you know to go check out the other one. If you want to hear about more NHL, more international hockey, you know to listen into the first bit of the first episode that comes out.
Yeah.
So go and check that out if you haven't already. But we're gonna roll right into the Eastern Conference, I believe.
All right. So I know last week I ranted and raved and lost my temper and said a bunch of things that needed to be said, and maybe I kind of like prayed to the hockey porcelain god, because prayers got answered. And the one series, we'll go over that one. Do you want to do the Canes or not the Canes, but the Rangers?
We'll leave your two teams for the end.
Okay.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go over Panthers, Capitals, Leafs, Lightning, and then break down that second round. And then we'll go over Canes, Bruins, Rangers, Penguins, and then the second round matchup for those guys.
All right. So the let's go with the Panthers and Washington
Caps. Yep.
And I think I said it best in, even before the playoffs started, is that's going to be a goalie series, and whichever goalie performs better is the team that's going to come out of it. Because because Ovechkin didn't really show up during that series.
Yeah. I was surprised. I think I saw maybe one or two of his, like, quote unquote, trademark goals from his office, and that was about it.
Yep.
Like, it seemed very quiet on the OV front. Come the playoffs, Capitals fans, if you think differently, hit light me up in the comments. But
Capitals fans, you need to just keep your mouth shut. Sorry, I'm sorry. That wasn't nice. You can say what you want, but we ain't gonna read them.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go.
Well, we'll read them and not respond. You're entitled to your opinion, but show to me that Ovechkin turned up for these playoffs, because I don't think he did.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, yeah. So Florida kind of, I wouldn't say they breezed past
the
Capitals. There was a few thorns in the side, but they didn't have to go to Game 7. They did have to go to overtime a couple times in the series.
Yeah.
And apart from the one game blowout to the Capitals, which was a 6-1, which, hey, everyone's allowed an off night. Panthers look strong and kind of proved why they should be the number one seed and why they've done so well in the regular season.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you. When they went into overtime, it was hard to watch, because I'm thinking, it's going to happen. It's going to go to Game 7.
Yeah.
Here we are, Game 7, and just I did not want to see Washington move into a Game 7, because I think they would have taken it in Florida.
Yeah, they could. Once it gets to Game 7, we know it's just a crab shoot. It's just a flip of a coin, and those big name players, Ovechkin probably would have turned up for a Game 7. He probably would have been, the difference maker in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well done to the Panthers for not taking it that far and getting the job done in six.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this series, it was a back and forth kind of series. It was almost like the Eastern Conference of LA versus Edmonton.
Oilers. Yeah.
Yeah. It was almost like that series. There's a little bit of hatred within both teams, but it was more along the lines of which team's goalie is going to perform better. And we saw that Babs struggled a little bit. There's one game where he gave up 6, another game where he gave up 4. But if I'm correct, in one of those games, either game 5 or game 6, the Panthers were losing going into the third period. If I am correct, hold on. Let me pull up. Nope, definitely not that game. Yeah, it was game 5. They were down 3-0 going into the in the second period, and they came back and scored 3 goals in one period and then scored the 2 to take the 5-2 or 5-3 win. That's the one thing about the Panthers. You can never count them out.
Yeah.
Until last night. But we'll get to that. I mean, and on that team, it's everybody scoring, not just one person. You don't have to rely on just one person scoring. The whole entire team's stepping up and taking advantage of that. Because you got some really big names on that team. You got Barkov, Duclair, Drew, Van Heeg. Is it Heege or Van Heeg?
Carter Vahege. Vahege, yeah.
Who else is on that team? I mean, Listerine, and I know they got him from Carolina a couple years ago in one of the trades. I mean, that team is a solid, solid team. And with Bobrovsky sitting there in net playing for him, it's going to be that much more fun. So
yeah, and them knowing, I think I said this in a previous episode, Panthers fans know that, well, I think even the league, like the full league knows now that they could be down 3 goals going into the third period. They could be 3 goals going down into the last 10 minutes of the third period and still come back to tie it and take it to overtime, or even better still, come back and score 4 unanswered and stuff it to the team that they're playing against. So as much as they've been down in games, you can't sleep on them. And won't be tied any team that does.
And I remember watching one game, and this is before they picked up Drew. They were down by 4 or 5 goals. Yeah. And they came back and won the game 7-5, I think, or 7-6. It's just this.
Yeah, they've had some crazy score lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this team is just that one team. Just because they're playing in the second round against Tampa, don't count them out. And we'll get to that game here in a little bit, because again, like I said, I really hope Edmonton and Calgary bring the bloodshed. Anything else out of that series?
No, let's go on to who they're facing.
All right. And Panthers did beat the Capitals in 6 games. Another teeter totter style series too. Next one, let's go Tampa, Toronto.
Yes.
Dude, I tell you what, I've read some pretty, pretty sad books. I've seen many sad love stories, and I always clap at the end of them because I hate love stories. I grew up in the Nirvana era, as well as I'm sure you grew up in the Nirvana era.
Yeah.
That is depressing music sometimes. But the capital D with Prussian at the end of it is Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm sorry.
it's ridiculous that they can look that good. Well, the problem is that they're playing a team that's going for the three-peat, and like we said in the Florida Capitals series, if that would have gone to 7, big game players would have done big game things.
Yep.
And you could have seen the Capitals go through. Maple Leafs, after that first game, you should have had this series in your pocket. Yeah. That is all down to you. You shouldn't have let up, and you should have just gone for the kill. I know Vasilevskiy's a demon of a goalie to play against, but you proved that he was human. You proved that he was beatable.
Yeah,
on numerous occasions. But you took it to a game seven, and you got beaten by a deep playoff experienced team that have won the cup 2 years in a row. You couldn't sleep on these guys.
So on part one of the show, remember when I mentioned how many goals it normally took teams to beat? This is a proving factor that Maple Leafs 5-0 first game, Lightning 5-3 in the second game, game three, 5-2 Maple Leafs, game four, 7-3 Lightning, game five, 4-3 Maple Leafs, game six, 4-3 Lightning. I mean, the only series or the only game that did not have to score more than 2 goals or more than 3 goals was game seven. Now, let's take it back to game six. That I have a feeling that the NHL and certain unnamed person wants to make sure Toronto never sees round two. You go into the third period with about what, 5-6 minutes left in the game. And oh no, Tampa Bay is down by 1 goal in an elimination game in Tampa. Hey folks, what happens next? They get a power play. Mind you, they already had a power play.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Yeah. And I've heard so much about refs in this series that I'm sure I'm bleeding from the ears at this point. but I have gone back and watched it. I've got a couple of Leafs fans who are part of the Lions media group that I'm with.
Yeah.
And they were on about the fan. They were on about the refs. Steve Dangle has been on about the refs. I get that it sucks and it happens and stuff. And for me, it's got to come down to consistency. If they were blowing everything, fine, blow everything. If they put the whistles away, they put the whistles away. The problem that I found with the refereeing in this, and the reason why I think people have got a little bit of kind of room for argument, is that they'd put the whistles away for one period and then they take them back out again, and then they put them away and then they take them back out again. Be consistent. Be consistent.
And if you screw up a call in the first period, don't be like, oh well, shit, I gotta make it up for the other team now and just blow stupid. I mean, it's
I hate the term game management. Fuck game management. If a team is bad, and you know, and I'm sure it was Puck Soup again that mentioned this. This was a while back about refereeing and stuff. If a team is bad in the NFL, guess what? The other team runs the fucking score up and marches down the field on their bad mistakes, on their false starts, on their face masking, roughing the passing or the receiver.
Unless your name's Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, but for the most part, a penalty is a penalty in the NFL, and you get penalized for it, even in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
we've had Super Bowl parties in the past where teams have just marched up and down the field to the song of the other team, just taking penalty after penalty.
Now, I swear to God, if the Stanley Cup is won off of a 2 minute or off of a flag in the first or the last 2 minutes, kind of like the Super Bowl, where a flag was thrown if the Stanley Cup is won this year off a bullshit call, I think everybody's going to lose their shit. No matter what.
The problem also is you've got the technology and you've got the people and the systems around you to make the right calls.
Yeah.
What?
There's no excuses.
Yeah, there's no excuses. You, you see, you, people have said, oh, you know, for the longest time, oh, it's the human element. People, you know, referees get it wrong. It makes the game kind of not even, whatever else. But when you hear the term game management, whatever that may mean,
yeah.
But you know that if a team's had three power plays, the next call is going to the other team.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Straight exactly. away, like that, and that's the shit that shouldn't happen.
And that's like, why Tim Peel got fired.
Yeah, like that shit. Yeah, and that's where it all kind of stems from. Why should the referees have to game manage any game, regular season, preseason, or postseason?
Exactly.
Like it should just play out. If a hook is a hook, call it a fucking hook. If somebody trips somebody, trip them.
Yep.
The best thing that they have is they've got guys in the war room in Toronto watching every game.
Exactly.
Going, Matt, that wasn't a call.
Yeah.
Or that should have been called.
Exactly. Let them do their job. Don't hesitate, because as soon as you hesitate, that's when the teams are going to start taking advantage of the officials. Because that hesitation, it's like coming up to a four-way stop sign. If everybody just sits there, nobody's going to move. But if you take that first hesitational move forward, then you're just going to kind of like overrun everybody because you're the one that's moving first. So in this situation, if you see someone tripping and you can let it slide by, don't call it.
Yeah. Yeah. But if it's not affecting the game, like what I got told in by a referee, and I thought this was brilliant. Like, and this was me playing rec. Like, this is like an actual referee telling me as a player that, hey, if you guys check each other and there's no like obvious advantage being gained from either side,
yep.
then guess what? I'm just gonna let it fucking go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you hook somebody down and your team gets the puck back, yeah, that's the penalty. If you hook someone down and they've still got possession and the play's at the other end of the ice, fuck it. You hooked him. Two people are out of the play, one for each team. So let it go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Toronto, I think you need to figure yourself out some defense. Said this at the start of the playoffs. The one thing that worries me about Toronto is their defense. They've got so much firepower up front. They're pumping so much money into these superstar forwards.
Yep.
Who's their superstar D? They brought in what I would call middling of the road D, and the guys that should have stepped up haven't.
Isn't Muzzin's one of the defense, or
everyone went crazy for him because he won a Stanley Cup with the LA Kings
a few years back.
They brought him in. I'm sure it was before COVID, before that season got shut down. So, and everyone was going, yes, they finally got a defense. They finally got a cup winning defenseman.
Well, like, they also.
That should shore up their defense.
And then they brought in at the trade deadline Giordano.
Yep.
Riley, Muzzin's.
But
Brody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not discounting that they haven't got guys back there, but they haven't got a Letang. They haven't got even somebody with the presence of like Chara. You've got nobody of like Cale Makar. I'm not saying they need to go out and get Cale Makar, but they need to get a Cale Makar like player.
Yeah. You don't have a Robertson. You don't have a Makar. You don't have Jacob Slavin. You don't have a Trouba. You don't have another big defensive name.
Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, Hughes.
He's a game changing defenseman. I don't see their defensemen as game changers. I see their forwards as fantastic game changers. But I think that the problem lies in the defense.
Yep. Oh yeah, that's why their goalies only last one or two seasons solidly in Toronto, if maybe a third season. The way that Campbell played this year, I could see him going somewhere else. I could see him getting picked up. Mrazek's your risk factor. And then they also had another one. Who was their other goalie? I mean, hey, this seems like Carolina's always in the market for goalies, and we seem to be going after a former Toronto goalies anyway. So who knows? Maybe we'll get Mrazek back. For their goalies, Campbell, Hutchinson, Kellgren, and Mrazek. So it was Hutchinson that was backing them up.
Yep.
And everybody, that nickname that they gave him, Soupy, I'm like, yeah, just add crackers and he's going to become mush. And was I wrong? No. It was, but I think that's enough about that series. We'll touch real quick on the Florida-Tampa series, which the first game was last night.
Uh-huh.
Me personally, I was disappointed. I understand they both had game sevens. I understand they're both a little beat up. But this is Florida. This is the Battle of Florida.
Yeah.
Florida seemed like they had no heart. Tampa Bay just kind of like took advantage of it and just started scoring goals. They ended up winning, I think, 4-1 last night.
Yeah.
But there, it was just hockey.
They ran away with it in the third period.
Yeah.
I think this is going to take a little bit of time to kind of warm up a little bit. I can't remember.
Warm up. Well, they're in Florida. How much warmer do we want to get? I mean, Christ.
Sweaty mud wrestling.
Hell, the picture I created for that series hot. Is a hell of a lot hotter than they were last night.
So I think teams are kind of just a little bit worn. Both teams are a little bit kind of worn down. Which, if I'm honest with you, come the second and third game, I think the guys will start wearing on each other, and shit will start getting pissed off.
I hope so, because that was a boring ass game. I even fell asleep in the third period. It was that boring. I mean, besides, I was pretty damn exhausted last night, but still, give me something I want to watch. Give us fans something we want to watch. Yes, game one out after playing seven games. Completely understandable, but you're hockey players. You're not baseball or basketball players, all right? You play until your body's broke.
So, I'm just quickly flicking back through their schedule, and I can't see the last time they played. Oh, no, there we go. It was in April.
I think the series was tied between them, 2-2.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, it was April since they last played each other. So, like, there's nearly a month between them playing games.
Let's see.
Like four weeks. So they've got time to, you know, kind of player rivalries, player niggles, etc. are not going to spark up in that first game.
Yep.
It's going to evolve throughout the games.
Well, I hope so, because even in the first run, I mean, I know everybody was playoff hungry and whatnot, but I mean, those first round series, even teams that don't normally play against each other as much as they have or have even real rivalries, were already ready to kill each other. And it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just me. But I really do. I really hope this series picks up, not just for me, but for us hockey people that know what rival have seen old school rivalries.
Yeah.
I can't speak today. But I mean, unless if it's just the old school in me that wants to see blood and teeth and sticks on the ice and then maybe goals on the board when it comes to two teams like this. So I mean, would you go to a Panthers versus Steelers game if you knew that there wasn't going to be any bloodshed?
Well, if I'm honest with you, both teams have been pretty fucking awful recently. If you want to quickly flick into to GB hockey and rivalries and stuff, I'm more excited for Panthers playing Coventry. This is not Nottingham Panthers playing Coventry or playing Cardiff Devils.
Really?
Just because there seems to be more about it. I'll be honest, I'm bored of the hype and the shit and the they make so much of it in the media. Oh, this is our biggest rivalry. Yeah, but Panthers haven't been competitive in the past 3 seasons.
But then Steelers
haven't been that competitive in the past 3 seasons.
But then you see people dressed up like Panthers holding road cones. I mean, you know.
And that's it. It's just dead ass
with each other.
It's just dead ass jokes. Like, it's the same shit. We call them traffic cones, mm-hmm. and they call us cuddly bears, like, because of our mascot.
Kind of look like a bear. I'm sorry.
It looks like a bear. It's not a panther at all. It's a yellow and black bear. The old mascot used to look like a panther. It was black. It was a panther.
And that blow up thing that you guys have, it does kind of look like a.
Yeah. That is an unfortunate.
Embarrassment.
It's embarrassing. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It's my team. It's my team. I don't care. I'm gonna be harsh on them.
I can't wait. I hope one day I can move back over there and I can just kind of like get back into it. What the hell is this American telling us how to do? All right. So we kind of rambled on right there.
That's okay.
So yeah, the Florida Tampa series, I don't know. I need to see another game. I need to watch another game before I can really make, because Florida didn't play last night. Tampa didn't play last night. It was just right place, right time. I mean, beautiful goals on both spectrums. Dunclair got his first ever playoff goal ever, and he's been with like 6 different teams. First playoff goal ever. It was New York, Arizona, Ottawa. I don't know who he was with between all those, and then he was on Panthers. So, yeah. But yeah, congratulations to him. Now kick your team into gear and let's beat Tampa. I don't want to see Tampa three-peat. Even though one of the kids on the team is from my hometown, I still don't want to see the team repeat. Or three-peat. So, all right.
It's time for you to get hyped up because we're talking about your two teams coming up next.
Yes. All right.
So let's go through the next two and then talk about their who's through and who they're playing, because you're a happy bunny.
Yes, I am. The hockey gods have helped me out again.
Yeah. Although, how you have two teams that are going to face each other in the second round and are not going pulling your hair out going, I don't know which one I love more.
Well, it's because I'm in that candy shop again. I got myself a Snickers and I got myself a Milky Way. I like both of them. one of them's going to get eaten first and one's going to be left, but I like both of them.
He's double dipping.
Exactly. Someone's like, no, you got to pick a team. I'm like, yeah, my team's going to go to the conference final. I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah. So, and then next year if the same thing happens but the other team goes, my team still went, it's fine.
exactly. Last week, if you listen to the show, you heard me go off about the New York Rangers. We'll start with the Rangers.
Yeah,
I lost my shit on the New York Rangers. Maybe if I lose my shit on, I don't know, on Florida, they might win.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm so glad that Pittsburgh is not moving on.
I was doing a quick bit of research as well, and I've not got it saved up. But Pittsburgh have not made it out of the first round in the last
4 years.
4 years, which I found crazy. But I knew they didn't make it. I know they didn't make it past the Capitals. That's when the Capitals won. That's okay.
And then
keep going.
Oh no, I was gonna say the next one was wasn't it Columbus?
Oh no, sorry. Wait. So they won the first round against the Flyers, but then lost to the Capitals in the second round. Because that's the one that Capitals would always win, knock them out in the second round, and then go on. But they Capitals won this year. Penguins lost to the Capitals, and then the Capitals won the Cup. Boom. Yeah. Next year, first round loss, a sweep to the Islanders. After that, Canadians lost to the Canadians.
In the bubble series.
And then lost to the Islanders 4-2 in six. And then I've now lost to the Rangers in game seven most recently.
Boo-hoo. No tears lost. No, nothing is shed. I did have feelings, but then I lost them. But I never really had feelings for the Penguins.
And the biggest news to come out of this, I think, is the speculations on who stays, who goes.
Yes.
Out of the three talismen of Letang, Crosby, and Malkin.
So we all know that Crosby's going to stay. He's
staying till the bitter end. He's like Getzlav in the Ducks. He's going absolutely buttfuck nowhere. He's sticking with our team, and he can still do it. Let's be honest. Like, he's not when he's doing between the legs passes to the middle of the ice for an empty net goal.
Yeah,
like, the guy can still fucking do it. Maybe not the most predominant role. Maybe he takes more of a back seat.
Plays on the
third line or something, or you know, kind of gets a different look out there rather than being the guy.
Crosby's kind of like that one good mate of yours, where you're in the pub and he's on a proper piss up night and he starts wandering off and someone goes, "What's he doing?" "Oh, he's going places. He'll stay here, but he's going places."
Yeah.
So
he'll be around. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
he ain't going nowhere. He's good. But then you look at the other two and you go, right, okay, Letang, hey, Toronto, Letang's available.
You
move a few pieces, you get a guy that's done it and can shore up your back end.
Yeah.
If Toronto's not in the market for a Letang, I'll be really fucking shocked.
Since 2014, when he last signed the contract with the Penguins, is $7.25 million. He's 35. How much longer could you have a D-man and not pay him what he currently just got off of? Would you pay him more or would you pay him less? How many years do you want to keep him for? What's his going rate per year? That's what a lot of teams are probably looking at. And same thing with another big name that they haven't really budged on is Malkin. And he's up there in age. He's 36 years old. He said he could do about three or four more years. Both of them want to stay in Pittsburgh. They want to be with Crosby.
Yes.
But his Malkin's current is $9.5 million, which ends this year. So at 36 years old, is he really worth another nine for three or four more years?
This is only just off the top of my head thinking about it. Crosby took a team friendly deal.
Yeah.
It was very well documented that, you know, he said it's a team thing. I'll take less money. I'll make it, you know, I'll do it for the team.
Yep.
Do Malkin and Letang take team friendly deals off the back of that to stay with Pittsburgh, to stay with Sid? And now you're not looking to move guys. You've still got your core. You've still got your ethos. You've still got your staple Penguins.
Yep.
You've got them on a lesser rate, where you can bring younger guys in. You can give the money to the draft picks and to the right people, and then you're rebuilding with them rather than shipping house and starting fresh.
But rumor has it that after Crosby did what he did and took that deal, they don't want to budge for those two. I think those two either want to go up or they want to stay the same, and the Penguins aren't budging. And that's where the downfall is because those are two players that if you lose them, you're pretty much losing pretty much your heart and soul other than Crosby in Pittsburgh. I mean, you still have the McGinn, who I'm not sure if he signed for 1 year or if he signed for longer. Boyle most likely won't be there next year. Then you also have Tristan Jarry.
Yeah.
Demeng situation now. I mean,
yeah.
And then you also have DeSmith, who is, I think I accidentally said his name instead of Francois in the last episode. But, I mean, you have DeSmith, who's going to be coming back next season from surgery, and he had to cover for Jarry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at another New York Rangers, Lundqvist, Shesterkin, and Gorgiev situation from a few years back.
Yeah.
Which one of those three-headed dragons are going to get rid of? Most likely Demeng, but at the same time, you have Jarry and DeSmith now instead of Murray and Jarry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it might come down to who's got the most market value and what you can get out of that. Like, yep. You know, whether it be picks or guys that can help you right now and in the short term future.
Exactly. Well, the only thing that they're working on right now is their strokes.
Yep. And their golf swings too.
And that is because of an amazing 2 games down in a 3-1 lead, series lead by the Penguins, who could not close it out. Yeah. I mean, to do something like that, they came back 3 games in a row, and I believe each game they were down, or 2 of the games they were down and came back and won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that one in overtime, that was, I don't even think Panarin saw that shot. I think he just threw the puck at the net, closed his eyes, and hoped for the best. Because if you look at the replay on it, I'm not sure if you watched it, but you look down his sight, like the sight of where the camera was, and there's no net whatsoever available.
I'm literally just bringing it up as an advert for African and Pacific Islander.
And
the play even starts with Panarin as well.
Yeah, and it was a power play goal, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it was something that I'm liking as well. I don't know if it's just on the TBS, but they've got the power play time in the slot.
TBS.
If that's just TBS and TNT, fuck me, that's brilliant.
Oh yeah,
But yeah, that must have gone through 5 sets of legs, as well as the goalies.
And you don't even see the net. Panarin must have either took a quick picture in his head and shot it, or he just threw it out of the net and hoped for the best. I mean, there's just no gray on this one.
Yeah, a good view that I just watched is like the camera at center ice.
Yeah.
Overhead view. That's a good view. That just shows you there's nothing but bodies in front of him, and it just finds a way through. The puck had eyes, it was the right guy at the right time. Like Panarin, it deserved to be him to send him through the second round.
Yep, exactly. I actually created a meme. I'm not sure if you've seen it or
I might miss it.
But it was I took a bunch of penguins, like maybe 6 or 7, and I put them on an island, ice island. And then in the background, I have like the New York Rangers logo kind of like sitting in the sea. And then I have like a cruise ship, and it says round 2 playoff cruise. And then off in the corner, I'm like, when that we just missed another ship really hits you.
Nice.
So I was good the whole entire series. I didn't say a single bad thing about the Penguins. I did not create any bad memes about the Penguins. That was my only one. And I'm proud of myself. I'm really proud of myself. And I'm not sure if you also noticed, like, that series, it wasn't a goaltending series. The goaltenders were not that impressive. Shesterkin was not as impressive as I thought he would be. Demeng, he had to step up. He was allowing 3 to 4 goals a game. That was another series I believe that you had to win by more than 3 to 4 goals.
Yep.
But I mean, whoops, wrong one. There we go. Yeah, I mean 4-3, 5-2, 4-7, 4-7-2, 5-3, 5-3, 4-3. So that's another one of those series where the goalies were not on top of their game. If Rangers want to move past my other team that we're about to talk about, they need to step up playing goal their net presence. They can't allow Carolina to shoot it as much as they do, and Carolina will shoot the puck. Rangers, if they're on the power play, they need to be moving the puck. The one thing in that game seven series is they're catching the pass before shooting the puck. If you have that shot, take the shot, and they weren't taking it. I wouldn't put it past the hockey gods that if they took the shot as soon as they had, like as soon as it was right there, they would have had, or overtime would have never happened. Mm-hmm. Overtime should have never happened as well, because that was goalie interference, not high sticking, and they let it go. I'm not sure if you seen that one yet.
No, I've missed that one. I know that the line of is this goaltender interference, is this not, and I think defenders have been getting away with pushing players into the goalie.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was the simple fact that the stick was so. Who was it? I think it was Rodriguez. There we go.
Yep.
Rodriguez came in and he was trying to put the puck in the net at the same time, or it might have been Letang, one of the two. But as he was coming down, it looked like a high stick at first because of how the positioning was. But then when he came down, he hit Shesterkin's glove, which kind of like took his glove out of the play to kind of like knock it down a little bit to put it into the net. So is that, I mean, it's clearly goalie interference, but they ruled it a good goal anyway. If I get started on any more of that stuff, it would be forever. I'm going to keep it short and sweet with the next series, just like the Bruins first round entrance and exit. Although it did go seven games, they're off again. So yeah, the Rangers move on to the round two from a 3-1 game deficit and end up pulling it out 4-3. So congrats to them. Next series is the Canes Bruins. As much as I can't stand the Pens, I hate the Bruins. That game seven was just magnificent. I mean, just game seven in PNC Arena, in front of the Caniacs. I've been there during big games, and let me tell you, that noise is unbearable. The players are not lying to you when they say that's probably one of the hardest arenas that they play in. So did you get a chance to watch that game at all?
No, unfortunately not. I've gone through the recaps and stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks like Kane's just got it done early. Max Domi stepping up big time with two goals. Yeah. And then just kind of rode it out in the third.
Well, it's funny too, because they showed a picture of Ty Domi, and he had a stone cold look on his face for each goal, not even budged. Like he was like,
yep.
And so, I mean, those were his first two goals ever in a playoff. Like, his first goal was the one goal that he scored. That was his first one. Then he scored the second one. First two goals ever in a playoff. And I think this is his first time in playoff. Or was he with Montreal last year? No, he wasn't. No. So this is pretty much his first time in a playoff situation. Because I think when Columbus went, Max was with Montreal.
Yes.
So, and then and
it just seemed like home ice was the deciding factor.
Oh yeah,
Like Kane's taking the first two games, Bruins taking the next two games at home. Kane's coming back home, taking it, and vice versa with game six, and then back to like you said, a game seven win in their own barn. There has to be, and I know you don't like talking about the Bruins, but there has to be question marks over a couple of their players and whether they stick around as well.
Bergeron, I think that's the biggest name.
Yeah, I'll say don't have to get fully into it, but there are same with the Penguins.
Yep.
There are now question marks floating around. A couple of their players maybe.
Yeah.
But like I say, most noticeably Marchand. I'm Bergeron.
I think Marchand's there for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Bergeron's the one, you know. I read a few things off of the Canes pages, and a lot of, as much as you can't stand the Bruins, Bergeron stood there and hugged every single player. Is that telegraphing what's going to happen next, or was he just congratulating the guys and being like, you know what, you played a hell of a series, yada, yada. So that right there, I mean – and then another stat popped up where the Canes are 6-0 in game 7 since the franchise moved to North Carolina.
It's pretty, yeah.
So
it shows that they don't have to panic in, you know, when it comes down to later games, if it's not going right for them,
yep.
they know they can close it out in a game 7 if they need to.
Exactly. And even with the Canes, I mean, I know they're my team, but the one thing that everybody agrees with is their team is so far in depth.
Like, yes,
it doesn't matter who's in that lineup. That's one of those teams where they can take people, put them in, take them out. And their spot is going to be filled with the next best player. And it doesn't matter if it's, I mean, that team is just stacked when it comes to line control. Plus they got one of the best coaches in the league. Not because of them being my team, they have one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah, and it's fantastic to see. Like, well, no, I find it's crazy to see that not every great player makes a great coach, but every so often you get a fantastic one.
Yeah,
and it just kind of advocates that players do know what the fuck they're talking about. Yeah. You get the right men. I think coaching is more of a mentality thing than it is like, oh yeah, this guy actually went and did it.
Yeah.
Rather than you know how good he was as a player, it's down to mentality. And some of the players obviously have it. Some of them don't. And Carolina lucked out on having one for their team play for them and then come back and do it behind the, well, he's doing it behind the bench as well.
Yep. So, everybody thought that in this series, the next series is the Canes versus the Rangers. As everybody can tell, I am a Rangers fan. I am a Canes fan. This is like I was talking about a few minutes ago. I got my Snickers and I got my Milky Way. I like both, but one of them is going to get eaten first. So I don't care which one it is, but I'm going to save the other one for later. Same exact thing. If one team moves on, I'm happier than a pig in shit. So,
fair enough. I think if I'm going to put my money on it, I would put Canes going through. Like you said, I think they've got the more. I think they've got the depth to really stick it to the Rangers. The only thing that the Rangers I think can edge them on is if their goaltending stands on their head, then they've got a shot. But goaltenders are going to need to stand on their heads against three lines, four lines rather than one or two. So,
and Freddie Anderson is not going to be starting the game tonight.
Okay.
It might just be another day of rest and because he's still on the injured reserve. So maybe he's not ready to play. Maybe they're just trying to pull the wool over the Rangers' eyes. Don't know. Baranta is getting the start tonight. As of right now, it might be game time decision on if he does or doesn't play. But that is that. Again, the hockey gods have blessed me this year. With the Calgary Edmonton and then Canes versus Rangers. And then for all you hockey fans, they've blessed us with at least two Battle of the States provinces.
Yep.
I really hope, I really hope there's bloodshed tonight in that Calgary versus Edmonton game. If not, I'm going to be a disappointed hockey fan.
I just want it to be exciting and somewhat. I hope the radio commentators are somewhat more interesting than the ones I listened to this morning, or last night, as it would be for you guys over there.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can excite me a little bit more. If I'm turning off by the end of the first period, it might not be the game's fault. It might be the commentator's fault. Yeah. Let's see how that plays out.
So one quick mention, Mitch Marner, not only did the Toronto Maple Leafs get screwed out of the playoffs yet again this year, but he got his car jacked this weekend in Toronto. So the woes just keep on continuing. He's all right. There's no harm, no foul on his end. But I found it funny.
I love that it happened in the city where he plays. It's not like he was out of town. It's not like he was, you know, on a trip away or visiting family or visiting friends. No. Where he plays, he got jacked.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't right in the heart of Toronto, but it's probably right around one of the little towns near Toronto.
But still, like, yeah. You know, anybody who knows hockey knows that Toronto is, like, and the surrounding areas,
you know,
are crazy Leaf fans. So this one clearly wanted just a bit more than a signed jersey or a signed stick. See that on eBay at some point soon.
Probably.
signed Mitch Marner car.
Exactly. So on that note, we're getting ready for the closing announcements. Any shout outs?
I want to give a big shout out to Dave Sims and the Sheffield Steelers. He came on as a guest for Let's Talk Hockey. That episode is in the can, ready to be edited by one of my editors, and it was a fantastic episode. We got into it a bit. We got a bit of back and forth come the third period. There was a bit of sandpaper action between Simsy, myself, and a couple of the and one of the co-hosts, just openly discussing how to make youth hockey or junior hockey better in the UK. So we got a bit of a discussion going on that. It's a long episode. I'll pre-warn you now. We try and keep it to three periods of 20 minutes and maybe a little bit extra. But you put 50p in the Simsy meter and he fucking flies. Like, there's stories left, right, and center. Like one of the other podcasts he was on, which I'm going to give a shout out to, which is Old Time Hockey. I'll send you the links over, Jeff, so we can get this guy, because he's a fantastic listen on there. A couple of other ones as well, but he had Simsy on a while back, and it's a two-parter. And
oh, wow.
each episode is over an hour and a half long, maybe even 2 hours long. So it's 4 hours worth of hockey chat. God. Just from one guest. And I couldn't go that long. I couldn't do it to my editors. Yeah. That's the last shout out that I want to give it to my editors. So firstly to Pixel Factory Media, who have been with us since episode three or four. They've been with us pretty much from the start. A teammate of mine, Dan Frizzy, started up in lockdown in the UK as a little kind of side venture whilst he couldn't go out and do his normal job, and started up this editing thing. And he's done editing for Team Red Bull and kind of their thing. So he did this as kind of like to keep his mind fresh, to keep his energy flowing, and then decided, and then I asked him, could he do the podcast? And he goes, I could do it in my sleep. And I went, okay, I'll send you what you need. And he does, what has he done for me? He's done pretty much every episode apart from the last four, and he's done the Out Now stuff. So if you follow him on Instagram, he does the little videos, like little promo videos and stuff. He also does a couple other little things for me as well, and he's an absolute beaut. A co-host of mine, Adam Bidolf, has just started getting into editing. So he did the David Ling episode, which is our most recent one, and it came out fantastic, better than I could have thought from a guy who's just starting into and just kind of like figuring out this editing malarkey. and game. And also a big shout out goes out to Graham, who is part of, let me just quickly find his name, because he did tell me and I have forgotten. Hamilton Audio. So Pixel Factory Media, Hamilton Audio, and then co-host Adam Bidoff has been doing our editing for Let's Talk Hockey. And a big shout out goes out to those guys because they are fantastic. But also, if you are looking for some cool hockey content and an interesting extra podcast to listen to, you know, you've got me, you know, you've got Jeff, but also we'll send out the link to Old Time Hockey, because he's got some interesting guests. He's got some fun stuff to listen to.
Nice. So I'm going to keep mine nice and simple. After being a substitute teacher with no teaching background, just life journeys and life stories and other simple things like that, I want to give a loud shout out to anybody that's listening that is a teacher, an instructor, someone that signed up to sub like myself with no background in that. Waking up every day and going to deal with everything and anything that could possibly happen to a teenager or elementary school student and stuff like that, I want to give a loud shout out to you. You guys, everybody out there has so much more respect for me doing that now that I'm actually part of that world. So this shout out goes to you all over wherever you are, whatever country you're listening to us from. So that's my shout out.
Yeah, it's a tough job. I did something similar, but I got the fun side of it. So I don't know if I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but I was an activity instructor. So I got to do all the fun stuff of any outdoor pursuit, so like rock climbing and archery and all that sort of fun stuff. But yeah, if anybody gets a chance to work with young people, whatever their background, it's such a rewarding job. Difficult and tough at times, but so fucking rewarding. And if you get a chance to go out there and do it, even if it's just volunteer work, you're helping the future.
Yep. So on that note, we want to give another loud shout out to our few sponsors that we have at Forecheck Clothing, eFlow Nutrition, as well as Hockey Art Clothing Company. Make sure you check them out. We usually tag them in a bunch of our posts, so make sure if you're trying to find them to just click on one of their links. For us, you can find us again on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and I think I said all of them.
That's all of them.
And so just search our name, What the Puck Podcast. Also make sure you follow us on all sources of podcast availability. So we hope you have a good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And if you fell asleep to us, you're pretty lucky, because this is Jeff and
this is Max,
and we will chat with you next time.
Beautiful.